ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where a little white ball is life. I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. How's it going, T-Bone?
Wow, we're doing good. As you can tell, there's a little rust that needs to be shaken off, but happy to be back, baby.
We're glad to have you back in studio. We are coming to you from Golf Smart in Houston. So once again, we want to say thank you to our friends at Golf Smart for letting us record here. For this recording, we are missing KJ, our third host.
It could be a nice change of pace for now, but we do miss him.
We do miss him, right? I guess we'll find out how well this goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
He'll
shout out KJ.
Shout out to KJ. Sorry, you're not here.
He's here in spirit.
That's right, but he will probably and definitely be back on the next one.
We don't know, but
it's kind of killing him that he's not here, honestly.
Good.
Because he loves it.
Good.
Savage. Fantastic. So you can check us out on social media at 3underparpod. That is the number 3underparpod. And that is the same across all the social media platforms, Twitter and Instagram. For right now, that is the best way to get a hold of us. And I mean, we want to hear from you, the listener, and we appreciate any and all feedback. Also, wherever you're listening to this, write us a review and give us a 5-star rating and tell a friend about the podcast.
Tell a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth, baby. We're just getting started. As Scott has said many times, we follow back. We're follow friendly.
We're hashtag team follow back.
That's what I was looking for.
Right. Well, I mean, because we're doing this because we love the game of golf. Golf's a great game where anybody can play it at any level. It doesn't matter how good or bad you are. Anybody can go out there and enjoy their time out on the golf course. And so hopefully you'll enjoy our commentary enough to want to tell a friend. And T-Bone and I are recording right after the New Year. So happy New Year.
It's officially 2019.
It is officially 2019. And so with it being 2019, we wanted to talk about what are some of the biggest changes in 2019 that you will see in the golf world just altogether.
Yeah. We're going to touch a little bit with the rules. Some of them are kind of funky, but mm-hmm. I feel like golf, for the most part, is a thing that's like prehistoric rules for some parts. And it's like, it's weird that like these I wouldn't say minor, but kind of minor things are like a huge deal.
Yes.
But they are kind of.
Well, the oldest rule in golf remains the same, which is play it as it lies.
I had to play the ball off Frankenstein's fat foot.
Yeah, I know.
A shooter famously said.
Oh, man. Shut up, jackass. We're going to start off with the biggest rules changes of 2019, and then we'll get into the big or the changes in the schedule. So here were my initial thoughts for the rules of 2019. It doesn't really matter to the average golfer as much, honestly. Like golf still remains the same. You hit it up, you tee it off, and get the ball in the hole as fast as possible.
Correct. I mean, especially with most of the hacks out there, that's not going to you're not going to be playing with your buddy on Saturday. Don't drop from your shoulder, drop from your knee. Yep. Or else I'm going to have to penalize you and report it. And that shit's not going to happen.
Nope.
Most of the hacks out there still putt with the pin in. So that's not going
to
matter.
That is the biggest thing that stood out to me for 2019, which Bryson DeChambeau has talked a lot about this. And if you follow golf, he's an interesting character. I'm sure we'll talk about him a lot on this podcast, but yeah. You can now leave the pin in on the green, which in the past, if you hit the pin when you're on the green, that was a 2-shot penalty. And at the time of this recording, it's the first day of the Tournament of Champions at Kapalua, and I'm already seeing pictures of guys putting with the pin in. It's very weird looking. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I don't know it is like when you grow up playing golf, that's like probably one of the first rules you're taught, like,
yep,
you're going to hell if you putt with the pin in. Like, don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's weird seeing the best players in the world already do it, but I don't know.
Well, I think the idea behind the rule was pace of play. That rule was geared more towards the average amateur, and you know, some guys 50 feet away from the hole, instead of having to go walk it out, you know, take the pin out and then walk all the way back to your ball, now you can just putt it and not worry about it. So that was the biggest one that stuck out to me.
And again, don't want to get on a Bryson tangent here, but I can, being kind of a like golf nerd with him on this, there are very different
You got to make sure you have the right coefficient of restitution equation on there.
But there are different pins. Some are like senior flex.
Yep.
And some are like very metal stiff poles.
Yeah. Yeah. Some give a little bit more than other pins. I'm not sure why that is. It's probably the material of the pin.
Yeah. But I feel like if you've been playing golf your whole life, playing like these guys know how to play golf, I don't think the average pro or normal person is going to change the way they play golf with that, unless you're a psychopath like Bryson.
But in a good way. I'm definitely coming around a little bit more on Bryson. There was another one that stuck out to me, which kind of applies to Dustin Johnson, and that is if the ball accidentally moves on the green, you can replace it to where it was with no penalty. So if you remember when he won the US Open a few years ago, he got a penalty because the ball literally moved like half an inch or centimeter. I don't know, but it barely moved. And so he got a shot penalty for that. I think him winning, though, completely bailed out the USGA, because the USGA is wow. There's something else.
I mean, yeah, if that would have came back to him, like, if that would have actually affected the tournament with him not winning, the course would have been up in flames, especially with what happened to him at the PGA Championship several years ago. But
the US Open. But the same thing happened to Lexi Thompson, too.
When the dam... people watching on TV were calling.
They called in. Yes.
Thank God that shit's gone.
Oh my gosh, that drove me nuts.
But as I kind of talked about earlier, it's funny how like some of the golf rules just don't make sense and they don't change them.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like slowly but surely they're doing it. Maybe even to the ones that don't really matter.
Yep.
But at least it's. I don't know. I feel like it's always with golf. It's been like those are the rules. Can't change them. And it's like.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of one thing that turns people off to golf is that it is kind of, like you said, archaic. It doesn't change, which we're going to have a different podcast of how to make golf more accessible to the general public, how to make it more fun, because like I said, we love golf, and we want everybody else to love it probably as much as we do. So there were a couple other things that stuck out to me. You can now touch the bunker, the sand in the bunker, before you hit a shot. In terms of search time, in the past, if you had 5 minutes to find your ball, and then it was either a lost ball, and then you had to go back and retee it. That's reduced from 5 minutes to 3. Again, it's a pace of play thing.
Yeah, and it's also funny how these rules are, like, they're all for, I feel like, helping the public, but that 3-minute rule kind of screws the public, especially if you're, like, playing in amateur tournaments, because, first of all, pros are not going to miss the fairway as much as an amateur, and amateurs don't have spectators looking for the ball. You're on your own. A tour pro never loses a ball, even if it's off the face of the planet, because there's 100 people there.
Yep.
And it just, I don't know. At least the rules are changing, and I think there's finally becoming like, maybe this doesn't make sense to do.
Yeah. And, you know, credit to the USGA and the RNA for trying to improve the game, because that's... You know, there are a lot of gripes you can have with it, but they see problems where they are, and they're at least trying to address them. So I'll definitely give you credit for that. See, some of the other quick things were when you drop a ball, you know, in the past you had to drop it at your shoulder level. Now drop it from your knee, which is a good thing, I guess, because it helps the ball not jump as high, or you might be able to get a better lie.
Yeah. One of the things I saw, I don't know which pro said it, but one of the pros was giving Brian Harman shit because he's a short golfer, and they're just saying, oh, this dude just gets to place the ball now because he's dropping it from his knee, which is an inch off the ground.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, I guess, with height, with shoulder and knee based on your height. Yeah. I don't know.
You can't really control that. Also, spike marks. You can now pat down spike marks on the green, which I love. That's great. Honestly, I would do that anyway.
I always did that. And just a quick side note about that rule. One of the most hardo golf moves I've ever seen. It was badass. I will give him credit.
Mm-hmm.
Was when Justin Thomas pulled out his wedge on the green for like a 4-foot putt over spike marks and just chipped it in.
Yes.
I was like, that was really cool. But regardless, I was like, that is the biggest hardo thing ever. I've like... Props to you for making it.
Yeah.
But come on.
Well, you know, even what's crazy to think about is that when you, like back in the day, you couldn't even mark your ball. Like if somebody put their ball in between you and the hole, you had the chip over it.
Do you know what's a total OG move was in the greatest game ever played?
Yes, that's Francis what I was thinking Wiemet of. Francis
Wiemet pulls out the wedge, did lip it out, but you know, awesome. Justin Thomas was good enough to make it.
Yes.
Which, again, just pisses me off. Like, you gotta one-up Francis Wiemet with that? That's bullshit.
Yeah, T-Bone doesn't have much love for JT.
My opinions will come out as we progress in the show, but right. Yeah, just giving you a little taste.
A little taste. And honestly, the rest of these, you know, if you double hit it, like there's some people who double hit it on a chip, like you hit it and then on your follow through the ball will hit it again. That only counts as one stroke now, not two. You can now touch a loose impediment in the hazards. You know, most of these rules apply to the tour guys. They don't apply to the average amateur. So we don't want to spend too much more time on it because, honestly, whenever you're out playing like with the boys or whatnot, just keep pace of play. That's all I care about.
That's it. And I can't get over the people calling in from watching it on television.
That drove me
nuts. At least that's over.
God. And it was like, it would be like a few days later. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay.
But so, yeah, I guess those are some of the rules changes. You want to go ahead and jump into the changing of the schedules? Because we got some juicy details about that as
well. So the schedule changes were big. They were actually really big for this year. And the first one that jumped out to me, which hopefully did for you as well, because we are based in Houston, is that there's not going to be a tournament in Houston this year, which sucks.
It's tragic.
I'm so upset about that. I really am. Like, the Shell Houston Open, or formerly the Houston Open, or formerly Shell, now the Houston Open. Like, I love going out there. And Houston's a big market, dude. Like, we're the fourth largest city in America.
And I would say that tournament was kind of low-key, I feel like, for a while, but it got such prestige for, like, being the Masters prep. Yes. And being local Houstonians, hits home a little bit, so we absolutely might be a little biased, but
we're 100% biased.
just
so that everybody listening knows, we are 100% biased on this.
But it was like we're the prep before the we were happy to be the prep for the Masters.
Absolutely.
We had that stigma with us.
The top guys in the world would come and play in our tournament. Like the year Jordan Spieth won his Masters, he was playing down here in Houston because at least I know a lot of the Texas guys, they just like playing the Texas tournaments. It's kind of like an unwritten rule among Texans. You play in the Texas golf tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
And the Golf Club of Houston, the design is set up for those. It's like a they're essentially like practice rounds for those guys getting ready for Augusta's with the runoffs and how the grass grows into you as opposed to growing into the green. You know, little things like that without getting too nerdy. Those matter to those guys. And the Astros Foundation bought the Houston tournament. So there will be a tournament in 2019 in Houston. It's just going to be part of that wraparound schedule. So it'll count towards the 2020 FedEx Cup points but it's going to be in October now as opposed to April, which sucks.
It's a bummer. Well, that's enough of our Houston bubble. We're really upset about it. Hopefully we get a nice spot on the schedule, which I think we will. You want to talk a little bit about Memorial Park?
I think we save that for a different podcast because okay. we do know some people who work on the golf tournament, and so we'll get them on the podcast to kind of give us a little peek behind the curtain of what's going on internally there, as well as kind of their plans for the golf tournament, because it's going to still be at the Golf Club of Houston next year, but then hopefully they'll move it to Memorial Park, which I'm so for. I'm so excited about that because it's actually in Houston city limits now. And where we're recording this, it's like 10 minutes away. I'm really excited for it. Hopefully they can just figure out logistically how to do it, but we'll cover that on a different podcast.
Yeah, I think this is somewhat speculation that's starting to get more serious, but we can touch on that when it's more of a reality.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, what about the big one that you have some experience with?
Yeah, so the biggest changes were probably the moving of the Players' Championship and the PGA Championship. So the Players is considered the fifth major. It's like the major that the PGA Tour hosts, and so that's moving from May to March. And whenever they moved it to May, a lot of the players started complaining about it. I don't know what exactly. I have to do a little more research on it, but it was something to do with the weather because it was a little more hot. The course was different than what it is in March.
Well, when was it originally When was it?
March.
Okay, so it was originally in March, got moved to May, and now it's back in March?
Now it's back in March, yep. Like, I know for whenever Adam Scott won his Players' Championship, that was in March. And then I think it was like a year or two after they moved it down to, or down to May. I actually went to the Players' Championship a couple years ago in 2016 when Jason Day won the Players. And that Saturday, I think only a handful of guys shot under par, like probably single digits out of everybody who made the cut. And those guys came back and they were like, we don't know what happened in the afternoon. Like the greens just got so fast, so hard and firm. And the scores were so high. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. It's, well, going back to what you said about the weather, if you, so as you said, Adam Scott won it when it was in March, but they had issues with the weather, maybe it being too hot in May. So that, I think that's funny because I had this mental picture of Adam Scott when he won. So I guess the weather was nicer in March and this dude had pit stains down to his waist. It looked hot as hell.
Yeah.
But I guess it was still kind of the cotton shirts and it was a little grungy out there. But I guess the dry fit was a nice change.
Yeah, and honestly, if you look at old recordings and playings when it was played in March, the grass was just a little bit greener. You know, when it gets a little hotter, the grass dies a little bit more, and so it just looks like a different golf course. Yeah. So I'm excited to see it in March. Actually,
I will say one bad thing that I think can come from this is like for me personally, the Players, it being the fifth major, I thought it was better than the PGA Championship.
Ooh, hot take.
Now with it being like the first one, the first big one on the schedule, I think it might even like build up the hype more for it being a bigger deal than the PGA Championship.
Which I could be wrong, but I think one of the reasons why they moved it to May was so that the first major of the year would be the Masters in April at Augusta National.
And which is the most hyped thing in the world for us.
I'm so excited for the Masters. I saw the first Masters commercial the other day and I was like,
We're within 100 days, folks.
Oh man, I'm so pumped. We're going to cover the shit out of the Masters.
That's our weekly coverage or monthly coverage. we'll get to that later. But do you think that with it being the first big one on the schedule that overshadows like some of the tournaments, like other tournaments, like just continues to build the hype of the Players that's like, I think is already bigger than it being the fifth major. Do you think it, with it being the first one on the schedule, it just hypes it up even more?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't put much thought to it. I'll have to think about it a little bit more. I'd be curious to know, which hopefully we'll be getting some PGA Tour guys on the podcast here soon. I'd love to get their opinion on that because they're the ones who actually play in it. And a lot more players play in the Players. Like their claim to fame is that they have the hardest field in golf. It's one of the deepest fields. Not everybody who plays in that. So people who played well in that might be able to play their way into the Masters now.
That's true. Well, as I talked about with, you know, to kind of have a little rebuttal to what I said earlier with it overhyping the PGA Championship, I think with the move of the PGA Championship is now giving that more hype.
Yes, so that brings us to the next point. The PGA Championship, which was played in August, is being moved to May. So it goes now Players in March, Augusta in April, PGA Championship in May, U.S. Open in June, and then the British Open in July. Which, dude, for those guys, that's a lot of golf. I mean,
that is a lot.
It's a lot of golf. It's a lot of travel. There's a lot logistically that goes into it.
I think it's good, though, because for me personally, I think also for just kind of your average golf fan, the majors were ordered by relevance, being Masters, U.S. Open, British. By the end of the summer, you're like, I still like golf, but it's the PGA Championship. So I do think bumping that up gives it a little more hype and makes it gives the tournament a little more pep, a little more zing.
Yeah, it does. I would say probably out of all the majors, the PGA is the most, I don't want to say overlooked because it's still a major, but out of all of them, it's, if I had to choose one to win, I would love to win the Masters, obviously, first and foremost, but would you rather win a Players or would you rather win a PGA Championship?
I think I've already kind of stated my opinion here. I'd go with the Players. It's the fifth major, but it's better than the PGA.
We're going to have to flesh this out a little bit more at a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, dude, that's kind of a hot take. I don't know. I don't know about that because, you know, whenever Bobby Jones or Jack Nicklaus, even when he won all of his majors, they had some taken away. Like at that point, the Western Open was considered a major, and but now that we're looking at it, that doesn't count towards their overall major count, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. But if you're, I also look at it as like if you're a pretty, I'd say above average, you've been on the PGA Tour for like, you know, a decent number of years, but you're kind of low key. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be like the one or two major champion who's only won PGA championships.
But it's still a major.
It sucks, though.
It's still a major.
It's just not the same. If you could win like two British Opens, which is, for me, definitely the third best major, that would be worlds better than two PGA champions.
If you're listening from Europe, send your emails to T-Bone on that.
Hey, I would love for this podcast to get global. We'll get there soon.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we can, at a different point, we'll do the entire like ranking of the majors. What would you rather win? Because there are other guys like on ESPN, like Andy North, who won it. You know, I think he won a couple U.S. Opens, or at least one.
And he's even low-key, and those were U.S. Opens.
Those are U.S. Opens, yeah,
He is about 180, though.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, so the few other changes, because there's no tournament in Houston, which we've already discussed, there are going to be tournaments being played in Michigan and Minnesota. So the Rocket Mortgage Classic is going to be in Detroit.
Woohoo! Oh, man, I'm buying my tickets for that one.
Detroit.
The Rocket Mortgage in Detroit?
Yeah. So they're moving that from...
That sucks. Oh, my gosh.
In Maryland to Detroit. And then the 3M Open.
Wait, hold on. That's got to be the lamest tournament of all time.
Because it's played in Detroit or because of
everything
the name?
About what? Everything about it. Everything. It's everything about it.
Hey, I know that those people in Detroit and in Michigan are very excited to get a court. It's been a long time since they've had a tournament. So
for a reason.
They're getting out of the DC Metroplex, sure. And they're moving over there. And then the other one is the 3M Open at TPC Twin Cities. There you go. So the Houston Open and the Greenbrier, those are the two that are moving to the fall. The final change that came for the 2019 schedule is going to be the playoff schedule. So the whole idea behind this is that the PGA Tour doesn't want to compete with football because ratings drive sponsorship revenue and everything. And so they are going to shorten the PGA Tour playoff. In the past, it's been four legs, and now they are bringing it down to three legs. They're taking away the tournament in Boston, so they're still going to have the Northern Trust and the Tri-State area in New York, the BMW Championship, which rotates between Chicago and I think Pennsylvania, somewhere in there. They play different courses. And then obviously the final is going to be at East Lake Country Club, which, side note, I've been there. Awesome. I loved it. Especially when Tiger was winning this year. I wasn't there this year. I was there in 2015 when Jordan won the FedEx Cup. No big deal. It was fantastic. I think that's kind of a good move for the tour to do that because football is really hard to compete with.
I feel like every big game is played in Atlanta now.
Yeah, especially with that new stadium they got. It's so nice. I think that's a good move. I'm kind of excited to see if it works. Now, the point system that they're going to be doing at East Lake for the Tour Championship, we got to dive into that at a different point. But you know, starting off at 10-under or those changes – we got to dive into that at a different point. We got to flesh it out a little bit more. But I'm excited to see because the PGA Tour schedule is very long, especially with that wraparound schedule. And so this helps the PGA Tour guys get a little more of a break and rest up. Because you even heard Tiger this year was saying how tired he was because he's playing four rounds of golf. And then he goes and plays in the Ryder Cup. And you know, even though this year is the President's Cup, it's overseas. So the Americans are going to have to travel. And I think it'll be a good move long term for him.
Yeah, I think so.
T-Bone, what are some of the changes that you would like to see? Maybe with rules or schedules? Yeah. We're going to give our quick thoughts there.
Yeah, so we talked about rules. We talked about scheduling. So I want to jump into what I eventually see happening and maybe a little bit of what I'd like to see happening.
Perfect.
So as far as the rules, I'm a big fashion guy. Love clothes. If you see me on the course, you would know.
This is very true.
I guess this is kind of a rule, but for the history of time, you wear pants on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. As of more recently, I I think it might depend on the tournament, but they're starting to allow shorts. I think it's specifically the PGA. Is it the PGA Championship? Maybe a few others. They allow shorts for practice round.
I think so, yes.
I do think that'll eventually become something that's going to be a rule. You can just wear shorts. I know back in the day, Greg Norman was pushing hard for that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with just the movement that golf is going towards to making it more kind of the rules universal to like pros and your everyday golfer or weekend warrior, I think shorts is eventually going to become a thing, which I'm not a fan of.
So you're not a fan of the tour guys wearing shorts?
No.
Really?
I
thought you were going to go the complete opposite direction with that.
It's just I don't know. It's just a classic thing that you wear pants on the tour. And it'd really throw me off, too, with people wearing shorts. It's thrown me off in the practice rounds.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they're going to eventually move that way, especially with Jay Monahan now as the commissioner. I think that's a good take.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a change. Since we're on the topic of changing rules, it's just something that's slowly happening. If it's happening in practice rounds, mm-hmm. that was already a big deal for them to allow that to happen. I think that is something that could be happening at some point, though.
Yeah. I think some other change I'd like to see, which you brought it up off air, I'd like to see more non-traditional PGA Tour tournaments. And what I mean by that, you know, there is some, I mean, for every PGA Tour tournament is great. They do so much for charity in the local community. I know, at least in Houston, they have done some great work with the First Tee. One of the first ones that comes to mind is the St. Jude's Classic, how much money they raise for St. Jude's. That's a great aspect of the PGA Tour. But it seems like they got it down to a science now, especially on the broadcast, where, you know, whenever you go to the John Deere, the St. Jude Classic, even here in Houston, it's kind of the same thing, right? Like, week in, week out. That's why I love what they're doing with the Zurich, bringing a team aspect to it. And I think the PGA Tour guys like that as well. I would like to see one or two more on the schedule like that.
Definitely, because the Zurich was, you know, you said all tournaments are great, which they are, but that was not a very...
It wasn't a very popular tournament.
But now it's badass.
Yeah, people tune in.
I'll watch it all the time. And I also think it kind of takes away, it makes it more fun. Like, these guys are dead serious every tournament, balls to the walls, playing.
Well, there's a lot on the line every single week for these guys.
Millions of dollars. And they still are.
Mm-hmm.
But the team aspect makes it a lot more fun.
Low key, too, I think that it is going to help, especially the Americans. I think it's going to help us come Ryder Cup season. I really do.
We need all the help we can get with teams right now.
Man, I think, you know, a lot of people out there might disagree with me, but look at the Ryder Cup this last year. We need all the help we can get. And so, unless we're playing on American soil, then we at least have a chance. But, dude, especially you get those Ryder Cup guys, or guys who are probably going to qualify for the Ryder Cup, get used to playing with different guys. You know, just building that camaraderie, that team aspect of it. I think that's going to go a long way in the future.
Definitely. Also, a quick side note for the Zurich Classic. I was at New Orleans Jazz Fest 2016, mm-hmm. which might have been the first year they changed it to a team format.
I think so.
I think that's right.
Or it was at least around that time.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I was at Jazz Fest on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I had just come out of a badass Maroon 5 concert.
Okay.
That could be a hot take from a lot of people, but...
T-Bone loves Maroon 5.
Yeah. Especially Sugar. If you want to fight me on that, please call in.
Come
on. Anyways, just came out of a badass Maroon 5 concert, and I look to my left, and Charlie Hoffman is there...
No way.
...drinking a beer and smoking a cigar, and he is tied for the lead going into Sunday.
Let's go. That's great.
I don't know if that was, you know, like, is that a normal thing for him when he's tied for the lead going into Sunday? Probably not. But the fact that it's a team and it's in New Orleans, it's just cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
We will be throwing that up on the Insta as well. I have picture proof of that of me and with
about
Chuck.
Picture didn't happen.
Who is low-key a badass. He's one of the coolest guys on tour.
Yeah. I love that quote that he had. It was at the Bridgestone a couple years ago when he told his caddy on 16, where his caddy was like, hey, I think you need to lay up. And he goes, I'm tired of finishing in second. I'm going for this green too. Like that's great. That's great. And that's one thing that I kind of do like. I know it's kind of different and it's hard for those or for the broadcast because a lot of tour guys have foul mouths. I love hearing guys talk on the golf course.
Seeing the real golfer.
Absolutely. I mean, because whenever we play, like, we just talk mess to each other. We, it's the boys out playing golf. And I want to believe that the tour guys are like that, too.
Taking from that, just the having the players mic'd up would be amazing. And I do think something that's more in the works is actually having mid-round interviews. I saw that posted, that they're going to start experimenting with that.
Like at the turn?
Sometime like throughout the round. So I think those could be some good changes.
I can really get on board with that. Like, what's going through your mind at this point? Now, they might have to change it for major championships because they're majors. But
also
for the average tournament, yeah, I would love to hear that.
And, like, for all sports even, like, I've always wanted to know in baseball when they get on first base and they're just talking to the first baseman. Like, what the hell are you saying? I've always wanted to know that. And same with caddies.
That might be one of those, like, be careful what you wish for, though. Like, is it that interesting? I want to think it is, but I don't know.
I've always wanted to know. I think it'd be a good change. Let's do it.
Well, in terms of caddy-player relationship, we can definitely hear Jordan Spieth talking to Michael Greller because they are so loud on the course.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this up here. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening. Give us a review and give us a 5-star rating because we want to hear from you, the listeners. We appreciate any and all feedback. Also, tell a friend about the podcast and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at 3underparpod. That is the number 3underparpod. We really appreciate it because we want you to join us along this journey as we grow this podcast together. So thank you for listening to the 3underpar podcast, Little White Balls Life.
Peace.